Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Hallelujah. Father, we do love you, Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Your presence is so important. It's so necessary. Thank you. The very atmosphere is filled with your presence now, Lord. We ask that you will speak to us through the word. Save souls today. Heal sick bodies today. Deliver people today. One young man, oh God, that came forward said, I am tormented by the devil in the first service, Lord. And you delivered him. You freed him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Before I open the Bible, I want to give you a praise report because it's so important that you know that we're living in the times when people are hungry for God. I had to miss the conference. Pastor David called me and said, you got to do the funeral. And several people from the family are members of this church, and I know that I needed to do it, but the conference was, you know, just some important thing, and the Lord said, you go, and you're going to have a harvest. And instead of mourning and crying and screaming because a 24-year-old young man was found in one of the members of our church's duplex, dead. He was on the way to get me to take me to the church, and he said, I got to go. The police, somebody called me. The police are all over at the house, and I got to go. I said, go. It's important. And so I accepted the invitation because the Lord said, go and make it a harvest. And I've been to funerals 69 years in the ministry. I've never seen a funeral like this. It was packed, jammed. People couldn't get in the funeral. It was a Catholic funeral home in a Catholic cemetery about 7 or 8 miles away. And I just preached like I would preach at Gateway. I preached the word. And there were people that were stirred by the word of God. I made the statement, I have never felt such a love among a family. Hundreds of people and kind of shirt-tail cousins and nephews and nieces and sons and siblings and in-laws and outlaws. But anyways, they were there, some gangbangers and motorcycle cubs and so on. And then I made the altar call. And I saw hundreds of people raise their hands, acknowledged that they were sinners and they wanted to accept Jesus Christ who died and rose again and invite him into their life. Somebody shout hallelujah. We have no estimate of how many of those received Christ. We didn't count. We were at a funeral. And then I was informed, Galascio called me, and you see him running around this church all the time, picking my briefcase up. He called me and he said, you got to do another funeral. A service, because the crowds were not all able to get in, and so the next day I had to do it again, and the place was packed. And so I preached the same sermon. No, I didn't. I preached another one. I figured they're going to get double shot. Preached another sermon, made an altar call, and this time more hands were raised. And they said the sinner's prayer just like we do here, and confess their sins to God and ask for repentance and said they're going to follow Jesus. So I missed the conference, but I believe hundreds of people are going to be in heaven. Come on, everybody. Shout hallelujah. The title of my message might frighten you. It's The Haunted House. But I chose that title. I'll tell you in a minute why. But it is near Halloween, so go to the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, and it'll be on the screen. When an unclean or evil spirit, as it says on the screen, is gone out of a man or woman or boy or girl. He walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house. He's calling that his house, you liar, from whence I came out. And when he is gone, when he has come, he findeth this house empty, swept, and garnished, put in order. Everything's in order. Then he goeth, he and taketh with himself seven other spirits made more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. When I read that, like I know that that's the scariest scripture that I've ever read in the Bible. Because Jesus tells us what happened to the man that was delivered, set free, but allowed his heart to get empty. Jesus compares an empty soul to an empty house. And theologians are the ones that gave me the title. They call this the haunted house because of the evil one struggled with, came back seven times worse, and the ending of that man was worse than the beginning. Now you better listen up. You probably never heard a sermon on this, because we hear all of the goody sermons and nobody wants to preach this kind of a sermon. It's scary. When you began your Christian life, your spirit was saved, born again. When you become a Christian, not necessarily is everything taken care of in your life. Your soul, your body, is not the real you. The real you is your spirit, your heart. And you give your heart to the Lord. You've been singing this sermon without even knowing what I was going to preach. Everything that's in my notes has been on the screen in the songs that you're singing. Now, here it is. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you want to finish your life strong? Raise your hands and just wave it at me. Finish your life strong. Well, then you need your mind, your emotions, your will, your soul, immersed with the Spirit of God. In other words, you need to be full, not empty, but full. Shout the word full. Full.
Full.
Now, everybody here is full of something. Just look at somebody and say, I know you're full of something. How many want to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of the grace and the power and the love and the attributes of God? I have longed to be full since I was 4 years old when God baptized me with the Holy Ghost. And I don't think there's been a day since then that I haven't asked God to keep me filled. You say, once you're full, you're always full. Oh, no, the devil has an ability to come and sneak up and take a nail and hammer it in and let it leak out over time. You got to stay filled. In fact, Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled, being filled. And it is an ongoing word that means you have to keep filled. Now, why this is so important is you began right. You became a Christian. Your spirit was saved. Now we got to get our emotions and our will and our whole being full, because if you have an empty soul, you will have a struggle, and the things that you battle will want to come back. The churches all over the world are full of Christians. They're saved. They got their fire insurance. they will not go to hell. But that's not the whole story of salvation. They're not passing the baton to their children. They're not passing the baton to the generation. The blessings need to be passed on to our kids, our children, and our children's children, and to the generation. These young people, do you know how many young people were at the funeral? I quit counting after 100. Young people at the funeral, and they heard the word. And so many of them raised their hands to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Olympics, if they fumble the baton, they lose the game. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose the game. They don't finish strong. This is why some TV ministers or pastors or deacons or elders, they fall into sin. It's because they let their soul get empty. And don't be real critical. Every one of us are tempted. Jesus himself was tempted, but he didn't yield to temptation. You know why? It's amazing. I can't believe it in the Bible. He's baptized by John. How does the Son of God need to be baptized? He never sinned. I mean, in him was no sin. Everybody that written in the Bible tells us that Jesus was without sin. How could God then be baptized? But watch this. He said, suffer to be so. And he was baptized in water. And then the Holy Spirit came upon. Wait a minute. The Holy Spirit and God and Jesus are all part of the Godhead. And yet the Holy Spirit as a dove sat on him and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what the Bible said? Immediately. Everybody say immediately. Now, Don, this is scary. Immediately he was led by the Spirit into the mountains of temptation. And for 40 days, tormented, accused. Mark says it differently. The beasts came against him. He went through all kinds of temptations, and he resisted them with the word. He was full of the Holy Spirit, full. You say, how do you know he's full? Because out of heaven a voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And I'm listening to him. And what he said to me is that I need to keep filled with the Spirit because our human soul, our tricky soul, wants the pleasures of the world, wants to be loved by the world, and they want to be not to be called an oddball or a holy roller, or Christian. And so we compromise. And when we do that, our soul gets empty and we become a target for the devil. Now listen to me very carefully why this is so scary. I mentioned in the first service that two leading pastors with churches of 30,000 in Orlando, Florida, both of them were fired because they had an ongoing affair with somebody besides their wife. Was found out, and they were exposed and driven out. Can you imagine how that affects the church when their leader for years and years? And so we got to be filled. Now, how did it happen? It's because they let their soul get empty, and what they struggled with way back in their past, it came back only 7 times. God doesn't want your spirit saved only, but he wants your full spirit, soul, mind, body, filled with grace, filled with the Spirit, filled with the victory of Jesus. And reformation's not enough. It says his heart was clean and swept and put in order. And you know what that means? You don't cuss no more. You don't drink no more. You don't smoke no more. You don't look at pornography no more. You're swept and garnished. And you ask people, how are you doing today, Bill, Jan? How are you doing? I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't chew, and I don't run with boys who do. But you can't judge how you're doing spiritually on how many do's and how many don'ts you're not doing. This is the biggest mistakes that Christians make. I haven't been doing too bad lately. Listen to me. How many of you want really to finish strong? So many Christians are getting burglarized, vandalized, and an empty house is an open invitation. A sheriff in one of the cities, and I forget the name of the city, he started what he calls the watch group, and got the neighbors all together, and he said, "You got to watch out for each other. You got to protect each other." Crimes in that neighborhood went down 89% because they were on guard. They were vigilant. And Jesus said, every time the devil tempted him and tormented him, he said, "It is written." He was in the Word. He knew the Word. He was the Word. He believed the Word. And he said, "It is written." And the devil knows the Word. The devil can quote the Word. "It is written." Then he said, "Worship me." Jesus said, "Only God. It is written. Only God should be worshipped." He said, "I'll show you the kings of the world. I'll give you all of this." He can't give to Jesus what's already his. This world belongs to Jesus. The Bible says that. That's why I believe, folks, what I'm going to prophesy in just a few minutes. The devil left him, the Bible says, for a more opportune time, then he would come back again. Now, if you let your house get empty, the things that you battled with in past experiences, past generational curses, things that have been way back in your past, will come back again. And I see this everywhere. One out of two church members, literally, end in divorce. They get shipwrecked, bitter, envy. You say, why does that happen? Because they don't stay full. You know that you fumble the ball and you affect your children. You got to keep your soul filled. You got to keep speaking to them about how great God is, how good God is, how wonderful God is. You got to talk about the miracles of God. This world doesn't believe in miracles. This world does not believe. They want to do everything with high tech and they have a new philosophy. They have a new culture. They have a new what they call morality. And so in the church, our job is to protect our people, is to watch out for them. We're watchmen. We're shepherds. We guard the sheep. And how do we do that? We have times like we had a while ago where we sing about the fire, we sing about the power, we sing about the Holy Spirit, we sing about His presence. Get our people full, because we're going to walk out these doors and we're going to be in another environment, and I want you to know that Jesus is a keeper. Come on, hallelujah. Get full of Jesus, get full of the Spirit. You can't judge people because God is a good God and a wonderful God. I, Pastor David, has given our testimonies over time about how God, when we were tempted and we were tried, we're not perfect. We're not above the same temptations that you and I all experience. Everybody is tempted. But you don't have to let a bird that flies over you build a nest in your head. You can shoo him away. And Jesus rebuked the devil. And Jesus said, you can tell the devil, fly away, flee away. Resist him in the name of Jesus. And how do you do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit in you. How many want to finish strong? I have to finish strong. I have 12 grandchildren, 2 great grandchildren. I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and maybe now in the tens of thousands of people over the last 69 years that have been saved. by the Holy Spirit and by the message I preach. But I got to live right. I've got to be strong. And that concerns me. It doesn't worry me. I can't let my house get empty. And a few years ago, the Lord said, you're getting too much wound up in preaching and too much wound up in the technicalities of building the church, but you're not spending enough time getting replenished and getting refurbished. And I said, okay, I'm going to spend more time getting full of the Spirit of God. I pray in tongues at least a half hour every day. But the man that was a Methodist pastor was called to England, the pastor of the Westminster Abbey, where the Queen, the King's church, and all of the elite and all the highfalutin people. He made this statement. I heard it about 2 weeks ago. He said, maybe it was 2 months ago now. He said, I pray in tongues every day for an hour and a half. And I thought, oh my God, I've missed it. I only do a half hour. He said, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray better than we do. So I get charged up and energized by the Spirit. I get full of the Spirit, and then I give my want list. Somebody shout hallelujah. You can be filled. You can be full, and it can happen over and over again. Now, how do we do this? It's got to be a daily thing. It's got to be every day. If you miss a day, you miss the moment to be with God. I'm talking about God never goes away, but you go away. You get so involved. You can't let a day go. The minute my foot hits the floor of the bed when I get up, the first thing I say, God, I thank you. I thank you for you let me have another day. This is not my day. This is your day. So don't let me fail to make this day profitable. Fill me. Direct me. Guide me. Use me. Sometimes it's a horrible day. Sometimes it's a confusing day. Sometimes it's a day when I wonder if I'm ever going to be able to get everything accomplished. But it's a day that God says, I will energize you. I will help you. I will uphold you. I will be the strength of your life, and you can make it. Pray every day. Then I have as point number two, read your Bible every day. Now look at me. I know a little Greek. I know a little Hebrew. In Hebrew and in Greek, you know what the word daily means? Daily. Everybody say daily. That means daily. Now, when you say, now I lay me down to sleep, but pray the Lord my soul to keep when you go to bed, not prayer. That's a memorized slogan. It's better than nothing. But you've lived the whole day. It's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. Usually for me, it's 12, midnight, or 1 o'clock. You've lived the whole day. Nothing harms you. Nothing has happened. You've got a lot to talk to God about. I'm not talking about an hour or a half hour, but you certainly can say, God, wow, you got me through today. What a wonderful day. Watch over me tonight. Don't let ISIS get me. Don't let the fire get me. Don't let the flood get me. Don't let the hurricane. I pray for protection. The neighborhood watch has neighbors. Well, I have a neighbor next door. They're Syrians. They watch over my house because I'm gone. They take caution. They see something moving around that shouldn't be there. They're out there. Oh boy, hallelujah. This is what we should be doing with one another. We should be watching out for one another. And don't be offended. If I wouldn't be offended if someone said to me they did today, I've been praying for you. What's going on? You know what's going on? My wife has got the flu today. Thank God that someone's praying for her. She wants to be here in the service today. Pray and be involved in the people. That's what church is. It's a family. Somebody say family. Get to know the name of the person. Get to know the people. And here's one thing that's so important. Everybody should have a praying partner. It should be your husband or wife, but sometimes a wife or a husband is not full and they don't want to get into that involvement. So find someone. Text them. Say, pray for me. Get on the phone. You don't have to take an hour. You don't have to take 20 minutes. You can pray and be in unity, in agreement, and watch what God will do in protecting you and helping you. I tell everybody to do this. God told me to say, every church now, I say, put your hands up like this over you. Just do this right now. And say, Lord, cover me with the blood. Cover me with the blood. See, you're under the blood, the precious blood. Keep me full of the Spirit. Dissolve my doubts. Dissolve my fears. Dissolve my worries and my dreads. Every day, read the Bible. And then this is something that you're going to say, I can't do it. Witness every day. I mean, witnessing every day isn't not quoting a bunch of scriptures and not judgmental. I say to somebody, how you doing? And they said, oh, awful. I say, hey, I want to pray for you. And they're shocked. But they're too embarrassed not to let me pray. And I pray, God, this awful day, this is the day the Lord has made. And you know what they say when I'm done praying? Thank you. You've made my day. I do it at the airport. Go through 2SA, and I see, you know, they're going to pat me down. You know. I say, boy, I'm so thankful. Here, give me another rub. Go ahead. You're protecting me. And I said, I want to thank you. You're a hero. Can I just bless you? God bless you. Never have refused a blessing. That's witnessing. My wife and I walking down Waikiki in Hawaii, and we're holding hands. I don't know what's so strange about that. And I don't know, half a dozen people stopped and said, that is so nice to see an old man. I rebuke you, Satan. An old man holding on to his wife. How long have you been married? I said, between my wife and I? We've been married 124 years. 62, she's been married to me, and 62, I've been married to her. Well, where did you meet? Then my wife, in 30 seconds, says, I was a polio cripple, and I was 14 years old. They carried me into the meeting, and this young, dynamic, handsome, no, she doesn't say that, prayed for me, and God healed me. Oh! Then the crowd gathered. I take an offering. No! What Jesus has done for me, he can do for you. Everybody's hurting. Everybody's wearing sackcloth. Everybody's got some problems. Some child, some family member, some problem at work, some argument with the boss, fearing of going to lose their job. Everybody's hurting. You want to find, everybody don't need a vacuum cleaner. Everybody don't need, you know, Fuller brush. They don't need Amway. But everybody needs prayer. And so I'm in the business of winning souls. And can I tell you, don't let the devil put in your mind that people will be insulted and offended if you ask, can I bless you? Can I bless you? Can I bless you? I've had them bust out in tears. I've had them hug me. Thank you. That's the, you've made my day. We got it, folks. We're full of it. I told you everybody's full of something. They're full of it. And the world is waiting for the full people. Let it help them. Because out of your innermost being, one translation says belly, but it's not this fat thing here. It's your spirit. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. It happened. The guy was having an epileptic fit in a mall. And I thought, you know, all these hundreds of people, they're going to call 911. I said to the parent, can I pray? Oh, yes. I just pray. And the guy calms down. We wipe the spit off of him. We have a miracle. Why not? Why not? It isn't just the pastors or preachers or the big, great evangelists. It's every single one of us can pray for people and help people and deliver people. Every one of us, if we're full. Full of the Holy Ghost. Don't let me get empty. Don't let me get empty. The world needs Gateway. The world needs the church. The world needs the Christian. They may scorn you. They may hate you. They may despise you. But if you act in love and in compassion, it overwhelms them and evil spirits come out. Can I just stop right now and ask you to raise your hands? I feel something of the Spirit of God coming. Put up your hands. Are you ready for the Holy Spirit? Out of my innermost being, full of the Spirit of God. Full. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to have to close for my time. Let me just give you something that's important. You got to keep telling God how good he is, how great he is. You got your kids have to hear you say that over and over. The Bible says he inhabits the praises. You got to start praising. Start giving glory to God. Moses went up in the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And when he got down, the children of Israel were worshiping other gods. And God said, I'm going to destroy them. Wipe them out. God heard Moses say, no, don't do that. And he started down that mountain, seeing all of that. And he prayed an intercessory prayer, and God didn't destroy them. Start praising God for his character. His loyal love, his grand glory, his faithfulness. And when you feel and see the presence of God in your soul, you got to quit hanging around with people who train you and not fill you. Don't hang around people that talk against the church. Don't hang around them. You witness to them, love them, but don't hang around them. Because they'll train you. They'll even make you think that, oh, at Gateway, all they're interested in is numbers and nickels and noses and you know what, and they, no. Don't let them. Don't get mad at them. Don't cuss them out. You're full of the Holy Ghost. But you got to make sure that your own family's full. Every mother knows when little Jimmy or Mary goes next door and is around a sinful, rebellious child, they can come home and start thinking they can be rebellious. That spirit will, you know. So you keep them full of the Holy Ghost. Keep them under the covering of God. You know what the Bible says? Do not be deceived in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil companions, corrupt and depraved, good behavior, manners, and morals, and character. Corrupt by evil companions. People have a powerful influence. They influence you. Can two walk together, Amos 3 says, unless they be agreed? Can they walk together? That means Be careful who you partner with. Be careful who you marry. Be careful. You'll become like your friends. You'll become like your associates. 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 18. It can become spiritually hazardous to be unequally yoked together. Proverbs 4:23 said, keep thy heart with all diligence, or protect your spirit with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart, out of the abundance of your heart. Satan has masterfully enslaved millions of believers with bad spirits. Churches are splitting. 1,500 preachers are leaving the ministry. Look what Ephesians says, 4:22. He who diggeth a pit shall fall into it. Who breaketh a hedge, a serpent, a demonic spirit shall bite him. Paul understood that lust breaks down the hedge of protection and gives Satan an open door. Strip yourself of your former nature. Put off and disregard your unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life. Get a new garment. Sin, jealousy, envy, pride, disobedience will open a person to the transference and ungodly. In closing, what do I do? If you really want God, acknowledge that this spirit, this attitude, this sinful way of living is unlike Christ. It's sinful. Then repent of it. Close the door. Plead the blood of Jesus. Cast it out, as I did a young man today. Fill up the house with God's presence. The curse of having an empty soul. We don't want it. You know why kids turn from their faith? Moms and dad, quit testifying about miracles. Talk about miracles, miracles, miracles. I mean, men who will dig their heels in and say in the devil's face, don't you even dare touch my child. We need to start guarding each other's souls. We need to watch out for one another. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you know right now that God loves you, you sang it, you read it on the screen, you know that God is so near, he's not far. He wants to come and live in you. He wants to come. He wants to be your Savior, your Lord, your keeper, your blesser. He wants to keep away the evil influences and spirits and demonic. He wants to help you through temptation and weaknesses and habits. If it's drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's pornography, whatever it is, no one's condemning you now. We're saying, let Jesus come in and fill your heart. How many here will say, Apostle C, that's what they call me. You can call me Emmanuel, but I hate being called Emmanuel because Jesus is Emmanuel and I'm not there yet. Pray this prayer. Now here, before I give you the prayer, you got to put your hand up and acknowledge. Everyone that ever came to Jesus, acknowledge. So how many here will acknowledge and say, I need Jesus. I need to be saved from all of my sins. I need Jesus to come in and be my Lord. Pray for me. Hands are going up before I even ask. One, just put it up high. Two, three, four, five. Put it up high. The lights are blinding me. Six. All right, there's just several more hands up. Now, all of us are going to raise both hands. It's a sign of surrender. And we're going to help them pray. So everybody raise your hands out loud. Pray this prayer. Hundreds at the funeral did it. I want you to do it here. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for all of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, that you can come into me. I give you an invitation. Come in. Come in now. I'm a sinner and I want to be saved. I want to be cleansed. I don't hear you. I want to be saved. I want to be cleansed. I repent of my sins. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Hallelujah. Now you can shout. How would you like to hear hundreds of people at the Catholic funeral home shouting? They shouted and clapped their hands. Let's everybody clap our hands for these that have raised their hands and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. God bless you.
Amen. Let's say thank you to Apostle C. Great word. Great word. Our ushers are going to be coming forward. We're going to receive the tithe and offering here this time, and we're going to have some more worship. But before we go any further here, there's many people that made that decision about Jesus Christ. I remember that day. How many remember that day, the first time you asked Christ to come into your heart? Some of you made it for the very first time. We have this card that's in the seat pocket in front of you. Pull that out and just fill that out, and because we have some information we want to send you. We want to help you. How many know it's tough being a Christian by yourself, right? But if you get connected with other people that can help you, then that's an opportunity to be filled. If you're guesting with us for the first time, or if you just need prayer, fill this out and drop it in the offering bucket basket as it comes by here. And let's go back into some worship here, and then we're going to have a final prayer, a blessing, and we'll head our way.
Let's worship Him together.
Sing our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus.
Yes, that's it.
Our
we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to just be in your presence and be filled. Everybody say filled. Let the Spirit of God fill every person in this house. So Father, we thank you for the word, the opportunity to be in your presence. And Lord, here in a few moments, we're going to be walking out into the mission field where people need you. And we just thank you for the courage and the strength and the love that you have inside of us. Let it flow, Lord God, and let us be a blessing, Father God. And we just thank you for this day in Jesus' name.
I have a prophetic word. Put up your hands as you want to receive this prophetic word. For the Lord would say unto you, there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. Love casteth out fear. So therefore, be full of my love. Be full of my spirit. Be full of my grace. Be full of the fire of the Spirit, consuming. Be passionate. Be passionate about the things of God. Hold to the sacred values of the character of thy God and live it out. Live it out. Work out your salvation. Not work for it, but work it out. Give it out, and I will pour out my spirit upon you, your family, your neighbors, your friends, and you will be a savor of goodness and grace in every location. At the workplace, they'll know you. At the marketplace, they will know something different. Not queer or weird, but something unusual. And they'll ask you, what is the secret of your smile? What is the secret of your calm in these evil times and shaky times and broken time? And you'll say, I have Jesus, and he wants you to have him too.
Amen. Let's give everybody a shout to the Lord this morning. If we could have our prayer team come up. If you need prayer for anything, come on up here. We got the prayer teams come up here. Otherwise, God bless you. Head out the door, greet one another, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.